Blog Talk Radio.
Smith, this is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. Good morning. It is 7 o'clock here in the morning, August the 4th, 2017. Glad to be here. Just waking up, having a coffee, and just glad to be doing these shows. I like to stay on my healing journey and keep going forward and keep moving, and these shows help me to do that, so hopefully they're helping somebody else too. And that song is actually called The Calling. It's by Angel Wing, put out by XL Music Publishing. And it's freemusicpublicdomain.com. That's where you can get that. And it's The Calling by Angel Wing. I think it's a beautiful song. And, so thanks for joining me. I appreciate everybody who's taking the time to listen. And hopefully, like I said, you're getting something out of this. This is just really a morning reflection, just so I can check in daily and sort of – I do actually do this every day. And I just do two shows a week, but I do this all the time, just checking in and make sure – see how I'm feeling, how I'm doing, what I need to work on, where I'm at, you know, as far as any issues going, you know, anger issues, anything that's going on in my life, flashbacks, triggering, this kind of stuff, any signs of depression or anything like that. I'll sort of keep tabs at where I'm at, and this show kind of helps me to keep on that. It just keeps me working on stuff, so that's why I'm doing that. So this is just, you know, basically like a morning reflection. And, we can ask ourselves, you know, is there anything particular that we need to work on? How are we feeling? This kind of stuff. If you're a survivor and you're just starting out on your healing journey, you want to make sure that you're safe enough to be listening. So do a safety checklist. You know, you can get that information many, many places, but you can get it at two places that I know of. HAVOCA, HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org. They have a safety section there, and as well as ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse Memorial Center Program. They have a safety first chapter in their book, Survivor to Thriver Workbook, and it's huge. It's like 60 pages long, but it's worth reading, and you can get that on their website, or you can download it for free, right? Make sure you're safe enough that you won't hurt yourself or somebody else if you're triggered or bothered by this information or anything like this, really, anything to do with abuse, because it can trigger your own abuse issues and cause you to have a miserable day, which you don't want, right? So if you're just starting out on your healing journey, be really careful what you're doing. Make sure you know that you're safe enough to be listening. And if you're not, just turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. And go get that information. Get a support person to help you out and learn how to keep yourself safe, right? Anybody else, you have to listen at your own discretion. You know, we're talking about abuse. This is a very sensitive topic, which most people don't like to deal with or even like to hear about. Unfortunately, so many of us are survivors and have to deal with this every day. So, if you're not sure it's going to bother you and this information might bother you, just turn the show off. You know, you have to listen at your own discretion and know what's right for you to listen to, right? Well, ultimately, you're the only one that can make that choice for yourself. So we'll get right into this here. Like we left off on Monday. We're finishing up a section on HAVOCA's website called Information for Survivors. It's under the Feelings tab. And we're looking at Fear of Feeling. This is by Margaret Paul, PhD, professional consumer, Interbonding. She's got a website, Interbonding. And I've gone there and checked it out. She's got some really awesome videos that you can see for free. Some of her stuff is not there for free. Some of her studies, but some of it is, and the stuff that's there that I've seen is actually really nice. And so I would, you know, I'd recommend people go and check it out. Margaret Paul, Interbonding, and so she's written this article for HAVOCA, And we were reading through there Monday, and we're just going to finish off the last part of it. It's a very short piece here, just left for us to look at. And that's the end of the feeling section. And I did put the chat room open this morning, which quite often I don't have it open there. But the chat room is there this morning. And so you can check the link out there. And we'll get right into this. This is the very last section of this article here, way down at the bottom if you're actually there. What she says, from Monday, the problem is that we still think we will die if we feel these feelings, so we are still avoiding them. We avoid connecting with God for fear God will not be there and we will feel alone. We get angry, withdraw, eat, drink, take drugs, watch TV, get busy, overwork, and so on to avoid feeling the pain of our loneliness and helplessness. So that's where we left off. So we're picking up this morning. Yet loneliness in our society is unavoidable. There are so many people who spend their lives with their hearts closed to avoid their pain that it is impossible not to be around people whose hearts are closed some of the time. And if we choose to avoid feeling our loneliness and helplessness, then we too will close our heart. So however, when we close our heart, we close down the joy too. Then we are stuck with the anxiety, fear, depression, and hurt that is endemic in our society. So she says here, you will not die if you open to feeling your loneliness and helplessness. It is even quite tolerable if you hold your lonely inner child, your feeling self, while bringing through love from spirit, for then you are not alone in your loneliness. So the willingness to feel the pain of loneliness and helplessness opens the door to joy, peace, and freedom. And the more you open to spiritual help in your loneliness, the more you are able to embrace the privilege of this sacred journey of evolving your soul. There is great joy in the journey, even when there is loneliness. So that's the end of that piece. It's just kind of interesting, because she was saying, like, all feelings are held in the same place. So whether it's joy, happiness, peace, love, feelings of contentment, peace and whatever, they're all held in the same place that we hold our pain, and sorrow and grief. So if we close off, we don't want to feel the pain, the sorrow, and the grief, the anguish or whatever we're feeling, then we're closing off the joy and those other good feelings too. And that's very true. I mean, I watched my mother do that. My mom, she was abused as a child herself, and then abused in this marriage, with my dad, and family was just disintegrating around her. She was also my main abuser, which was horrible. But she just shut down. She closed off. She couldn't allow herself to feel love because she was trying to avoid feeling the other horrible, painful stuff that she was dealing with. So I had a good, what do you want to call it, like a mentor who showed me exactly how to do that. So that's what I did. And I was always kind of the height of the party. When I was younger, I was able to, laugh and have fun and whatnot and get through life. And, this is the issue. I mean, I was kind of living a double life. I could go to work and have a good day at work and it'd be perfectly fine. But then come home at the end of the day, and it's just me and myself and my loneliness and my problems and my hatred and anger and rage and whatever was going on from the abuse, that would really snuff out the joy or anything good that I had been able to feel that day, And so it was overwhelming, really, until I was able to get in touch with a lot of it. So that's the big problem is, not allowing ourselves to feel what we need to feel. And that's why they call this part fear of feeling. And because it really is. I mean, this stuff is really, like I was saying on Monday, it's harsh. This is so incredibly painful. This is not something that needs a Band-Aid. This is something that needs major surgery. This is life, really it is. It's life-altering pain that, survivors of abuse have to try to then learn how to deal with and get in touch with and learn how to get some help for these things. This is horrific, Like she was saying, we're stuck with the anxiety, the fear, the depression, and hurt that's endemic in our society. If we close our heart down, we close down the joy too, close down the peace, the happiness, that inner part of ourselves that understands love and understands peace and whatnot. I used to think that I, that was gone. I used to think that that was destroyed out of my very being, you know, was the ability to feel any peace at all or any inner love or inner joy for anything. And especially when I was a teenager, because then I was just kind of like a rebel, just doing a lot of drugs and just, you know, doing whatever I could to destroy myself, you know. Horrific, right? I mean, I thought that was gone, you know, and then hit the age of 42, realizing that I was just in so much pain, I couldn't bear it anymore. And I mean, this is really horrific, this stuff. And until we're willing to get in touch with it, and actually able to get in touch with it, I think a lot of times we're willing to, we just don't know how to. Maybe don't know how to go about it. That was my problem. I didn't know what to do to try to get help or to get myself in any better situation, right? So until I started to reach out, really, is what it was. There wasn't going to be any help for me. You know, I wasn't really going to do any work or anything until I started to reach out, get some help, right? And so that's why I always tell people, you know, don't suffer on your own, man. There is help out there. There's some type out there that's got to work for you. I know for me, because I don't trust at all, I had to go anonymous help, and then started just reaching out to other survivors, and which was very helpful. And that's what got me here today. You know, was just making that choice to reach out and not suffer and struggle on my own. And very important, right? Because this stuff, like I said, is very, very, it's very damaging. It's very harsh. And we've already suffered enough, really. You know, this is where I was, you know, at the age of 42, almost 10 years ago, sitting there thinking, you know, we've suffered enough, right? Do we have to keep on, you know, struggling and suffering through this? And it's just a harsh situation. And so that's the end of that article, that particular article. And next up on Monday, we're going to look at anger. That's the next section I want to look at. It's on HAVOCA as well, HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Information for Survivors tab. You can find it there. It's anger. It's a huge section, lots of good info, and we'll take a look at that. I've done a lot of looking in at anger from angerresources.com or all kinds of good from Dave Decker and Michael, I forget what his name is. No, I know one guy's name is Dave Decker anyway, and angerresources.com. That's a really great website. It helped me out a lot getting in touch with what I was dealing with my anger issues, my rage issues and stuff. But I want to look at this particular section here from HAVOCA. We'll start that on Monday. And I have a guest here, someone with an 850 area code, and I'll see if I can bring you on. If I drop you, be sure and call back, because I'm not very good at this anymore. I used to take callers, and then I got so many trolls that I stopped taking calls. And the microphone is not on, so if I'm not sure if you want to come on or not, but I'll just see. Hello, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
There.
Hey,
yeah,
how are
you? I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing good. You know,
I didn't lose you. That's good.
No, that's a really good thing. You know, when you were talking about anger issues, you know, that's so true. You know, the biggest thing that I found is that when you talk about it, you know, and you finally really get in touch with your feelings and you express your feelings, but you talk about it with somebody, you know, because you know, I'm a little bit older than you, I think, but you know, like in the 80s.
I don't know.
but I was one of the 80s childs, you know. But you know, when all this was happening with me, and I was in a lot of trouble and things, you know. But when I was talking with, you know, social workers or whoever, you know, they all made it out to be my fault. You know, like when you would tell somebody what was going on at home, they all said, "Well, what are you doing wrong?" And I'm like, "What am I doing wrong? You know, I'm getting beat up, you know? I mean, and so, you know, but no matter what you said, they all made it, you know, your fault."
Right.
And so there was always, terrible. You know what I mean? But today people have so many resources at their fingertips, you know, I mean, whether it's the internet or, you know what I mean? So, and if they don't take advantage of these resources, you know, that there's so many people willing to help. And today, you know, they've made so many advances, you know, so much farther than they did years ago. And
oh, for
so,
sure. Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and so there's so many people that have come so much farther ahead. And so the thing is that even myself, you know, I spent so many years like in distrust of people because, you know, after being told, you know, like, you know, you're the guy who's been, you know, not causing this, you know, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, what did you do wrong? And I'm, you know, I tried to say, I didn't do anything. You know, what do you do? You know, like I, you know, when you try to explain, you've been hit, kicked, slapped, bats, belts, boots, thrown downstairs, you know, and they just look at you like, huh? You know?
Yeah.
So
I think that's sad, but that's accurate, you know?
Yeah,
and you, I still see a little, I see hints of it even now with certain, certain things that I'll be looking at just, and you know, to not even just for this show, but for my own healing journey. And I'll see where they've tried to almost put the blame on this, on the actual abuse victim. And that's actually really wrong. Because abuse is not anybody, abuse is a choice and the abusers choose to abuse it. There, you couldn't do anything wrong enough to deserve that. There is no excuse for abuse. And this is the problem, I think, of society, really. You know, any, I mean, you just get gather a group of 200 people and just see where they're at. You know what I mean? Is abuse the child's fault or is the abuser's fault? I've had people tell me, you must have been a bad kid to be treated like that. You must have just been really bad. And I'm like, I was like, I didn't do anything to deserve that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't do something wrong enough as a child. How could you, you know, it doesn't, even if I had done something wrong and I really did something really bad, you still would not do that to your child. You would not beat, batter, torture, and try to kill your child for something as stupid as a, you know, a derogatory comment or something. You just would not do that. So this is why abuse is a real problem. Society still has a problem with it. And they want to blame the victim, you know, and that victim blaming is really a shame. They still do it, you know, with rape survivors.
Right.
And it's really horrific, So yeah, we're not alone in this, society wants to make
even
us out
today,
to be the one, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Abuse is one of those words you don't talk about. You know, it's kind of like taboo, you know. And when people talk about it, you know, that everybody loves to change the subject. And I don't understand why that is, you know, because it's something that needs to be addressed about and something that needs to be talked about. Because even today, you know, and this is years later, you know, but there's still things that trigger me, you know. But, you know, the thing that I kind of still shake my head about is, you know, in our home, I grew up in the south side of Chicago, and we used to like to, there was this thing that went on in our home that, you know, we were the all-American family in front of everybody. But boy, when that door closed, oof, you know.
Living that double life.
Exactly. And I mean, there could be dishes flying, in, you know, midair. But boy, if that phone rang or that doorbell rang, that dish could stop in the middle of the air. The door would open. Oh, good afternoon. Come meet my wonderful family, you know, my wife and children, you know. And, everybody knew their role because, boy, if you didn't play that role to a T, the belt would come out and, you know, it was brutal.
Yeah, we have a lot of similarities, I think, in our stories because that's how I grew up as well. My parents were well-liked, well-received by their neighbors. Even though we had, you know, even though they were brought up on abuse charges, everybody knew that. But it was like they still liked my parents.
Yeah.
My parents had a lot of support. And we played this game of being a perfectly fine, normal family, you know, to the world. And then at home, you know, with behind closed doors, that's what's wrong with abuse. It's hidden away most of the time, you know. Especially with children.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the sad part is, you know, it's you're forced to live this life where then, okay, when we go to so-and-so's house, everything's fine. Put a smile on your face and everything's cool. And this is what we do here. And then when we go home, it's just more abuse. It's, you know, so you're basically living a double life. Like, it's real trippy. But this is what I've talked to many survivors who've come through that. And they said, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's living this two different lives, you know. It's very bizarre. That's why so many people don't get help, right? Because the issue is you know, you're just trained and this is the way it is, and you're trained that you don't get help. This is our life here at home, and you're just gonna deal with this, you know. And it's like, you know, this is a real problem for people. Very much manipulative and secretive, manipulative type stuff. Horrific. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right. And then mine went on way into my, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, but I think as you, when you grow up in it, and it's not a cop-out, but you don't know any better. And then when you, when the light bulb finally came on for me, and now this, I was already married at the time, and my wife kind of, you know, opened my eyes to it. And I kind of took a step back and went, wow, this isn't right. You know, this,
mm-hmm.
this isn't right. Because when I opened my mouth for the very first time, you know, I shouldn't even say this to you, but my wife, you know, when I finally talked to her and, you know,
mm-hmm.
she said, oh my God, who did I marry? You know, because,
right.
you know, when I finally talked to her and said everything, you know, she didn't even know what to say, you know, and
right.
then, but when, as I talked to her and I really opened up about everything, and she was the one who said to me, this isn't right. This is
mm-hmm.
not right. You know, she said, Mike, you've got to stand up against the, you know, because even at, in my late 20s and that, you know, they were still domineering, you know, they were still that
mm-hmm.
having that thumb over you, you know, and
oh,
controlling.
Oh yeah, that role never
you know?
Changes. That role never changes.
No.
No, it doesn't.
No.
They're not going to change.
So,
it doesn't matter how old
no,
they get.
No,
it doesn't matter how old
no,
you get. You know,
no,
they're just who they are.
And
right?
so,
yeah.
Right. And so what I ended up doing is, you know, because at that point we had children and it got so bad that they were even threatening the kids and things like that. And so
sure.
I ended up going no contact with them, and which was
yeah.
for me the best thing. But then what happened with me is after I went no contact is when I really fell apart. Because
yeah.
then it gave me enough time away that I could reflect on everything that happened. And then when
mm-hmm.
It hit me like a wrecking ball, because I was like, oh, my God, I've been played my whole
oh,
life.
Yeah. That's terrible.
You know?
Yeah.
And then that is when the anger, you know, the foolishness,
oh, yeah.
you know, came. Then the anger came, because then it just, you know what I mean? You had that V8 moment where you went, oh, my God. God, she's right.
Yeah,
you know?
I've been totally used, screwed, manipulated, and
yes.
you know, oh, it's a bad, bad feeling. Absolutely,
yes.
especially because
yes.
because it is coming from those people, you know, whoever they were, you know, our parents or whoever was raising us, that were supposed to love us and take care of us. It's the total, to me, it's the total. I had a word for it. A while back, I actually wrote it in one of my poems, but I can't think of it now. It's just the total letdown of knowing that
yes.
that how could they do that to you? How could they do that? That's the that you
and
wouldn't
have
even
no
expect
feelings
that
about it.
Oh yeah, and think that it's perfectly
yeah.
that's just the way it should have been, and you deserve that, or I deserve that. You know, that's the way it should,
right.
I should have been treated, right? And then to have the family
right.
back it up. You know, family members
right.
actually say, well, yeah, that's the way you did deserve to be treated. And I'm like, oh, my God, how could you? The ultimate betrayal.
Right.
That's what it is. I wrote a poem called The Ultimate Betrayal. That's what it is. It's the ultimate betrayal of a child's heart, then becoming an adult. And you realize that you've just been totally played and totally betrayed by the very people that were supposed
yes.
to take care of you and love you. And I think that's where the rage comes. Because I know that inner rage, boy, And anger and hatred and, you know, that stuff. Yeah, like you, I hit sort of a rock bottom point, 42 years old. And it's after I was totally away from my family, and I was just, this stuff just hit me like a wave and just rolled me over. And I thought, this is it, man. You know, I can't take anymore. I can't, you know, I
yeah.
had to start reaching out. Horrific.
Oh, yeah.
And this is,
yeah.
you know, and there's people that would sit back who knew us and knew the family situation and think it's perfectly okay.
And did nothing. And did
yeah.
nothing. That's the thing,
oh, yeah.
too. You know, neighbors could see the bruises. They could see the ripped clothes. You know, I was the
mm-hmm.
I was the guy at like 11 years old hopping out of the window, running away, you know, with 3 feet
yeah.
of snow, living in cars and living under viaducts and things like that. Nobody ever helped.
Yeah.
Nobody said a word. Everybody was kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so,
to their own.
You know,
Don't worry about him.
Yeah, you know. And
yeah,
then,
that's
and
terrible.
And now,
oh, yeah.
You know, here we are, you know, the same people, and not thankful. What I mean is I'm thankful I'm away from it because fast forward now, you know, 20-something years later, you know, my parents are divorced. The rest of the family now, I have brothers who are really bad alcoholics on drugs, you know, divorce themselves, you know,
yeah,
abusing their wives and children. You know what I mean? So in
yeah,
one way,
sad.
You know, I took a completely right-hand turn and they took, or I took the left and they took the right, whatever. But we went two mm-hmm. different ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I scratch my head and go, oh, my God, I was the black sheep of the family. And I'm the only one who ended up somewhat sane, you know.
Yeah.
It was something because you guys always made fun of me, you know. And I don't
yeah.
know if you ever had that, but you know, I was the
oh,
butt
yeah.
of everybody's joke, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. Me too. Oh, absolutely. There's
yeah.
got to be one in every family.
Yeah.
Sometimes two, but there's usually one. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
yeah. And yeah. it's a harsh situation to come from. So good for you, and I'm glad that you made the right turn. I'm glad that you did get that. Go the right way, you know, because we could have easily let this destroy us just like, you know, other people do. And this is where, you know, this is why I like to do these shows, because it's just to tell people, you know, don't let this stuff destroy you, man. This is not your fault. You know, we didn't deserve that. And we certainly don't deserve to pay
no.
for it later either. And we don't, you know, so then, okay, we got to make choices. We got to make the right choices, right? Because it's too easy
right.
just to walk away and say, you know, too easy to just to say, oh, forget it. You know, I don't care and get that hard attitude and, you know, ruin your
right.
life some more. It's like, no, don't do that, man. You've already been
right.
through enough. You know, get some help, geez.
Right.
You know, or do
yeah.
something to help yourself out. Because this is that's what my brothers did as well. My brothers went the wrong way. I watched them. They were older than me, so I watched them as an example of what they did to their lives because of the abuse. And people just thought they were such losers. They were like, you know, who cares about your brothers? They're just losers. They're drug addicts. They're eating out of garbage cans. Like, they're homeless. Who cares about them? They're just losers. Even our own family would say this, right? And I'm like, these are my
yeah.
brothers, man. These are my bros. This is my flesh and blood. I know what they went through. I lived in the same house. I watched them be beaten.
Right.
I know what they've been through. And, you know, I watched them be destroyed, and then I watched them destroy their own lives. And I thought, oh, God, I don't want to go that way. You know, I don't want to do it. I want
right.
to try to do this right, you know, because we
right.
don't deserve that. Something inside of me just says, no, we don't. We never did deserve that. Yeah,
right.
we couldn't do anything wrong enough to deserve that. And they neither did they.
No.
They were just young boys being abused, right? So this is where people
right.
get the wrong idea. So I feel sorry for your own siblings there, and I hope that they will turn it around, you know what I mean? But they'll
oh,
have
yeah.
to do it themselves. But I'm glad that you didn't
right.
go that way.
No.
Really.
But, you know, everybody... You know, you just can't let that abuse eat you up, you know. I mean, you've got to get it off your chest, and you got to talk about it, you know, whoever it is, you know. But, you know,
yeah.
just reach out to somebody, you know. And there's
yeah,
always
right.
somebody that will help you, you know. There is.
Yeah, you got to keep looking. Yeah, that's right. Because sometimes, you know, it may take a while to find something, but that's what I would tell people. Just keep looking, because eventually something will come along that'll work for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but if you don't try and if you give up after the first time, that's no good. You just got to keep trying. Because you might not find something for a while
yeah.
that actually works. Yeah.
If you had longer, I'd tell you a bunch of stories, because I looked for years, you know, and it
well,
all panned out, you know.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I mean, well, actually, our story is actually quite, we have a lot in common in our story. And I think we've been, you know, even though our stories are different, there's a lot of similarities to what you were telling me. And I just think, you know, so many other people probably identify with what we're talking about. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, no, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the air. I really appreciate it. We've got about a minute left on the show. And anytime you want to come on, my friend, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're absolutely welcome anytime. Yeah, if I see you there, and, you know, I'll just see if you want to come on and chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks
right,
for coming
thanks
on.
Again.
I really appreciate it. It's nice talking to you. And you take good
you
care
too.
And have a wonderful day. And I'll be back Monday, same time, same place. And in the meantime, you have a good
okay.
weekend. You take care of yourself.
You too.
Okay. All right. Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, everybody. That was great to have my friend Mike come on here. And, you know, anybody who does want to call in, if you let me know ahead of time, I'll be able to let you on. I had so many trolls come on through in the past, and actually... sort of make fun of the show, cause problems on the show. So I stopped taking calls a long time ago, but I used to take calls all the time. And so if you do want to come on and speak and just tell your say your piece and just chat for a while, you're more than welcome to. Just get a hold of me before the show and let me know what your area code, and that way I'll know it's you. And so have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll pick up some of this info next time. And what I just say, you know, just tell everybody, and just like Mike said, you know, just don't give up. Keep reaching out, you know, because there is help out there. There is. Sometimes people don't believe that because they've tried and they couldn't find anything. It didn't work. You know, nobody cares. It just seems like nobody cares. There are people out there that really do care. You have to keep looking. You have to keep reaching out. So for this weekend, I wish you a really wonderful weekend. Take really good care of yourself. You know, if you need to, if you have to, you do whatever you have to, but you call a crisis line. You know, you call somebody. You make that phone call. You stick it out. Because you certainly did not deserve to be abused. You know, nobody does. And you deserve to get help just like everybody else does. But we have to be our own best advocate, right? So you have to make that call. And you have to make sure you stick it out. And then come and join me here on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Talk to you soon.